Hi, everybody. Charlie Hedges, Next Chapter with Charlie. And we are in the final little episode. While I am in Uganda, this is episode 3, and we're going to wrap up our time of talking about the impact of the next chapter and my adventures with Wells of Life. I am in Uganda now. I am working with the leaders and the workers of our team. We have, I should know the number exactly, but it's 10 to 12 workers in Uganda. They are all African, except for our deputy director, who is Romanian. There are people from the United States running operations in Uganda, except me, and I run it from the United States. I am there now, and producer Paul has questions for me, and so I want to, he has some sort of personal questions that I'm interested in, so I'm curious what he has in mind.
Are you ready for this?
Of course.
While you're gone, Charlie said, what are we going to do to keep this show rolling here? We just do some reruns. I said, get open, get real. And so the first episode we talked about, what did you really get out about this overall journey of the next chapter? You discovered your own next chapter. And you talked about the passion and purpose. You talked about the impact. And you talked about the influence that you feel like you're having. Even at this, these last later stages in your life here, when normally we're in that long fade to black and it doesn't mean anything anymore. We're just getting ready for the credits to roll, if we're using a movie analogy. You have found a purpose and a passion that has renewed you in ways. What I want to know what you get at it. I know what you do, and I know why you do it, but what do you get out of this?
You know, it's an important question, Paul, because I think those of us in philanthropy and giving rarely think about what we are getting out of it. And we're thinking about what we're giving and what we're accomplishing.
It's a one-way gift.
But let's be real and let's be human. And we all have that small self that I call, you know, our ego that is selfish and self-centered and wants, you know, what I call my three P's, power, prestige, and possessions.
Right.
We still have that. And so there is a, what do I get out of it? And I get personal reward that allows me to divorce myself from my addictions of cars and clothes and houses. You know, I mean,
that's your big three.
That's my big three. And I, you know, it's not like I'm buying a new car. My car is 4 years old and my house is 10 years old, but clothes...
It ain't a bad car, and you're pretty nicely dressed when you come in every week.
Yeah. My clothes are definitely an addiction, but it allows me to rise above that and to say, those are not eternal values that are going to make a difference on this planet and are going to make a difference in what I feel is important in the kingdom of God. And my service to humanity fills this deep hole that is in all of us, that is a deep hole for purpose. It is a deep hole to make a difference. It is a deep hole to align ourselves with something significant. And that something significant for me has been my friends, my family, my wife, and my son are hugely important in my life, as is the charity that I work with at Wells of Life that is so important in my life.
So could it be that you found a fourth P in your search for meaning, adventure, and awe, as you say, in your search for your own next chapter? You found something beyond just power and possessions and prestige.
Prestige, yeah.
You found purpose.
Yeah. And purpose is huge. And, you know, it's funny. How many books are written on purpose? Not written on purpose, written about...
written on purpose for a reason.
They're all written on purpose or not, but the subject matter is purpose. I find there is something rather serendipitous about purpose,
yeah.
Is that it is not something we find, and it's not even something we discover.
Is it something that finds you?
No, it's something we recognize.
Ooh.
It is already in us. Our purpose is already resident deep within us, and we then resonate with it, and we recognize, ah, that's it. This kind of giving is it. I didn't discover it. I didn't create it. It just came along, and it sung its song.
And I recognized it. I heard it. I responded. It hit a chord in me. I resonated. That answers a question that I remember asking you way back when you started the show, and you were very big on, well, just everybody should find their purpose. You know, it's like the only thing that's holding you back from your next chapter at whatever stage in life is just fear and not thinking it through enough, not recognizing the opportunities, not just being brave and going, all these things you're talking about. Just go out and do that thing that you want to do. And I said, that's real easy if you know what you want to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
not everybody does.
Well, you know, if you recall, we did quite a bit of work. You know, I did for over a year. I had a personal coach in Dina Crowder, and she was exceptionally helpful for
Came
me.
On the show many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she talked about archetypes, and that each of us have 9 archetypes. And 2 of my critical archetypes were the explorer and curiosity. And the curious person.
Clearly, this show, anybody who's listened to the show for more than a few episodes know that.
Well, yeah, all you have to do is, I tell people when they say, what kind of show do you have? And I say, well, look at the episode titles, either my podcast titles or my blog titles, and they're all over the map. It's just whatever Charlie is interested in.
Whatever he's curious about.
Because he's a curious person. And I think if you have...
And willing to explore lots of different things like you did in the show. You weren't sure where it was going. Half the time you're not sure where the interviews are going. But you keep exploring the issue and the question and whatever brings curiosity in your mind.
And I think that's what creates this serendipitous sort of life, is that curiosity and openness to observe and to evaluate something different, something you never thought you would be interested in. I always thought I admired charities, but I never thought I would... I couldn't see myself involved in any kind of charity.
No power, possession, or prestige involved in charity work.
No power, prestige, or... No.
None of those 3 P's that we all strive for. And we've all been taught to do that.
You know, let's take that back. Those sins are true in charities as well.
Oh, I'll bet.
And I see many of the people work in charities are all about that. They want power and control. They want to be known as the best one, and maybe not possessions, but...
It's prestigious, it's powerful.
Yeah, very much, but as, you know, St. Teresa of Avila is teaching me all the time now, it's about selflessness, and it's about humility, and I cannot live a life of any kind of meaning without humility and without... You know, Jesus says, in order to gain, you got to lose, and you've got to lose that sense of that, what I call the small self, Richard Rohr calls the false self. Mm-hmm. You've got to lose that ego in order to find something superior to that ego so you can gain. It takes a losing to gain.
Is any of it about legacy? You're in arguably the last couple of chapters in your life, you know. Is any of it about leaving something behind? My father used to say the last thing he wanted to do was when he died just see 2 dates and a dash on his tombstone. He wanted to feel like his life meant more than just, I was born on this date and I died on this date.
Yeah, and I think that's true of many of us. But your question, what was your question? You had a question.
Legacy. Is this something you only can discover later in life when legacy enters into the picture?
No, I think you know, I have great hope for the millennials, and the millennials are really sort of socially conscious people. That, you know, many of them, not everybody, but not everybody of any generation is anything, but there's any one thing in particular. But there's a lot of charity and a lot of impact and making a difference on our culture that is important in this generation. I think we can find a lot of people, younger people, but as you grow older, I think one of the fallacies of legacy is that people want to leave some sort of name for themselves, or, you know,
something that will live on past them,
a plaque on a church that has their name, name on a building. You know, I personally have no interest in that, and I really have no interest. Well, I could tell you this way: when I was in ministry, and one of my mentors in ministry told me, and I was thinking about leaving, and he reminded me, he says, Charlie, I want you to think of this metaphor. And he says, get a bucket of water, stick your fist in that bucket of water and pull your fist out. And as long as it takes that hole to fill with water is how long people are going to remember you.
Wow.
So that was not an ouch. That was an aha. What it meant was they don't need to remember me, but they can be influenced by the impact that I make on them.
There you go.
That's my legacy, is the impact that I make on people. And once again, I keep coming back to Wells of Life, but my opportunity to make an impact on hundreds of thousands of individual lives in Africa, of people who have an opportunity for education, an opportunity for health, and an opportunity to live a life of dignity. If I can make that kind of impact, I don't care if they know it was Charlie Hedges. That doesn't make a difference to me. I know that's between me and God, and that's the only thing that makes a difference. If I was able to leave that kind of impact, I would die a contented man.
Pretty sweet to me, as another man of a certain age, that you're making all this happen at a time when we're all told, you're not needed anymore here. You're past your prime. It's over. Go home. Rest. Do nothing. Wait.
I'm 71 going on 40.
You are. You are. Exactly. Well, it gives hope to all of us that there's a next chapter in our lives, whatever that life is. It isn't we're not at the end of the book yet. We're not at the end of the road. It ain't over till it's over, right?
It's not. Now, I want to encourage listeners, as we're wrapping this show up, I want to let you know we have a whole new process going on, and that is we hired Melissa, is it DeLacy?
Mm-hmm, DeLacy, yeah.
Melissa DeLacy as a programming expert show booker, and she has booked the most incredible episodes. You will have already heard I've Seen Dead People, and you've already heard... the title is Living Without Regret, and the show is making a turn, and we're really going for, there will still be several shows with Terry and I and with people that I know, but we're going for
a wider
new
net.
New authors, wider net, wider perspective. And so I encourage you to listen, because the show, I think, is only going to get better.
Just like your next chapter, it's only getting better. I applaud you for taking the step, the leap of faith into this show, and being reactive and listening enough to react when you heard the opportunity and you went for it.
Thank you, Paul.
And to keep with it, because it ain't easy, right? It's easier to quit than it is to go forward sometimes.
You know, it's easier to quit when things get tough.
Yeah.
That is the challenge of all of us, isn't it? Is when things get tough, we want to say, look, I just want to bail. I don't want to deal with it. And
but isn't that a test of faith, or the test of a marriage, or the test of any sort of belief or commitment? It's only when the going gets tough that you find out if you're really committed to this or not and what you're made of.
Such is the way of God. I want to thank everybody for listening to the next chapter with Charlie. And I want to thank producer Paul for his excellent questions in the last three episodes. It has been, we just did this on a wing and...
and a prayer.
and a lot of prayer. And I just had a blast. I hope you enjoyed. And until we come to our next regularly scheduled podcast, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. And bye for now, and love to all.